The Treasury Department is seeking public input to get a better grasp on the impact natural disasters and other climate-related risks are having on the insurance industry. It is just the latest step the Biden administration is taking to assess the financial impact stemming from warming temperatures and extreme weather. Let's bring in somebody who is right at the center of those discussions. We've got John Morton, climate counselor to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. And John, it's good to talk to you. This is a new role at the department, but you have been tackling the issue of climate change for many, many years. Talk to me about the focus of the department right now, what you see as the biggest risk to the financial market stemming from climate, and what tools the Treasury is looking to use to try and mitigate that disaster?
Well, thanks, Akiko, for the opportunity to speak with you today. Climate is affecting all of us every day in ways that are increasingly visible. This past year, 2020, we had over $117 billion worth of climate-related impacts to the economy from natural disasters, climate-enhanced natural disasters. So this is affecting us. It's affecting us today, and it's affecting us with increasing speed. But I think what's different about this administration from ones that have come before with respect to climate is that we see both the challenge of this moment from a climate perspective, the existential challenge, as Secretary Yellen has pointed out, but also the extraordinary economic opportunities that are embedded in the transition to a lower carbon and ultimately net zero economy. And so if you think about the changes that that the Biden administration is putting in place, the goals that we are putting in place around emissions reductions, we see them not as a cost on businesses and a cost on society, but a important economic benefit that we will experience if we can, in fact, transition our economy, lead the global economy in the transition to a net zero economy, and to do so in a proactive way across the suite of our industries. And so that's really what we're focused on within the Treasury Department, is using our tools, our tax, our budget, our regulatory, our oversight, and our international development tools to align to this extraordinary economic opportunity embedded in the transition to a net zero economy.
You're certainly tackling this issue from a number of tracks, whether it is the impact to the financial markets, it's about climate financing, as well as discussions on a multilateral level. On that front, we're less than 2 months out from COP26. We had climate envoy John Kerry over in China recently. He got a bit of a frosty reception, you could say, essentially being told by senior officials there that they don't see necessarily a separation between cooperation with climate and other geopolitical issues. China, of course, a number two emitter. How do you keep that discussion going? How do you bring China on board when you've got a country who's saying these two issues are not separate?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. I mean, you have to think of what it means to say, is China on board? I mean, the fact is that they are the largest solar producers, the largest wind producers, among, in fact, the largest producer of batteries. In many ways, they have been leaning into and leading the industrial transformation that is enabling the low carbon economy like very few other countries, if any. And so while it is true that China needs to do much more to reduce its own emissions, and that is a point of American geopolitical engagement with China, I think there's some lessons learned, too, about how they have prioritized investments in low carbon economies to the long-term benefit of key industries now in this transition. You know, the transition to a low carbon economy is something we talk about here as the Biden administration, but let's not forget that the economic realities of this transition began decades ago. I mean, in the final years of the Trump administration, 76% of new U.S. energy installation capacity that was put online was renewables, solar, wind in particular. And so this isn't something that's a partisan issue. This is about economics now and about making sure that the U.S. is well positioned to lead this transition away from high emitting carbon intensive economies towards a lower, a carbon, cleaner, greener future.
That's always been the interesting piece for me, too, watching this all play out. You know, obviously, we can afford as a nation to maybe make those investments in sustainable energy, but a lot of these developing countries cannot, which is why I suppose the multilateral development push here that you and Secretary Yellen are really kind of focusing in on does matter when you think about those nations, developing countries who maybe can't put the upfront investment there. So, I mean, how important is that really in kind of this, you know, sliding scale as those countries look at the trade-off in shifting away from cheaper fossil fuels?
Yeah, it's a great question, Zach. So I mean, in, you know, I mentioned some statistics related to energy deployment in the U.S. The numbers are even higher internationally, because at the end of the day, solar today is in most of the world the cheapest source of new power. It's not one that is kind of competitive and marginal. It is the cheapest. And so if you're a developing country looking to secure your electricity supply, to secure your energy supply, to build out your grid, to serve the growing needs of a rising middle class, the cheapest way to do that now is in most countries is with it's with solar and with wind, and with battery storage costs coming down, the issue of intermittency becomes no longer an issue. So we are very much focused as a U.S. government in using our public dollars, our public climate finance dollars, our development dollars to help developing countries develop cleaner, greener sources of energy for the future. And it's a fast-growing boom in those markets right now.
John, really quickly, we don't have a lot of time, but we've got the SEC revisiting those climate-related disclosures from 2010. I know there's a discussion that's happening on a global level on that front. When are we likely to get sort of the guideline on that, and what do you think that should look like?
Well, I can't speak for the SEC specifically, but what I can say is that the FSOC, which is the Financial Stability Oversight Council, which is chaired by our secretary, Secretary Yellen, is charged with putting out a report to the president on the back of an executive order issued by the president back in May. And that report is coming in the next 6 weeks or so that will touch on many of the issues related to data and disclosure and climate risk in the financial sector. And I think what you can expect to hear, perhaps not surprisingly, is that there's a lot of risk in the financial markets that are not perhaps as clearly articulated and as made available as cleanly and clearly to investors as we think there ought to be, because we see significant risk in the financial system that is not currently being recognized and disclosed. So we do see an opportunity for enhanced disclosure, and I think the SEC is moving in a direction consistent with that point of view.
John Morton, climate counselor to the Secretary of the Treasury. Appreciate you taking the time here to chat with us today. Be well.